Once again, we welcome you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm Apostle William Talbot Broaddus, Senior Pastor of the Calvary Baptist Church of Pacoima. It's a joy again to be with you on the Gospel for the Glory of Jesus, KRAJ 100.9 FM. We're again grateful to Brother Melvin Slade for allowing us this opportunity to share with you thoughts from God's Word. In Galatians chapter 5, beginning at verse 1, the Apostle Paul says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. You have become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by law. You have fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love." Amen. Galatians 5, verses 1 through 6. I want to talk about don't go back. Don't go back. Our nation has what it calls the Declaration of Independence, signed in 1776. And let me hold or borrow some words from the Declaration itself, and it may help us to launch this message today. It says, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." The word liberty is what I want to focus in on this message. We who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ are freed from the law that kept us captive to the acknowledgement who we were as sinful creatures. Secular liberty is defined as the quality or state of being free, the power to do as one pleases, freedom from physical restraint. Real life, real liberty and happiness cannot be legislated by the act of man. It must be made available through the will of God. Man enacts judgment is always conditional and is based upon governmental control, which history will remind us that it can falter depending upon who is legislating the pursuit of life, liberty, and happiness. In the secular world, a good citizen is called a law-abiding citizen. This is a person who keeps the law of the land and is a respecter of that law, meaning that they honor the letter of the law and conforms to the freedom that the law legislates because of their obedience. As a Christian, I am called to obey the laws of the land. As long as the law of the land does not conflict with the law of God, Christian freedom is not the freedom to disobey governmental or even secular authority. There must be legislative laws in human society to give order to social living. Romans chapter 13 reminds us, beginning at verse 1, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, but there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore, you must be subject not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. The general principle will be seen to be that we are to obey in all things which are not contrary to the law of God. God has ordained civil authority for a reason. In respecting that authority, we respect God. We know that corruption sticks its ugly head up in every governmental agency. Government must police government and must deal with corruptness in all exposed forms. If not, God is strong enough to deal with every situation that is ungodly. But the believer's job is to respect the authority placed by God. The apostle gives a reason why Christians should be subject, and that reason is that officials called magistrates who have been entrusted to the administration of the law have received their appointment from God. As Christians, therefore, we are to be subject to God, so they are to honor God by honoring the arrangement which he has instituted for the government of mankind. But the text out of Galatians has its focus on another set of law that the believer has been delivered from. Through the accomplishment of Christ at Calvary, the ones who have and shall accept Jesus Christ as Lord have been delivered, hallelujah, and emancipated from the law of sin and have been given the law of grace. The condition of a sinner is that of a captive or a slave to sin. He is one who serves and obeys the dictates of an evil heart and the promoting of an evil nature. Romans chapter 6, verses 16 and 17 says, "Do you not know that to whom you present yourself slaves to obey, you are that one slave whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered." You got to understand that the effect of the gospel is to break this hard bondage to sin and to set the sinner free. We learn from this that religion is not slavery or oppression. It is true freedom. No matter who we are or where we come from, we all are sinners by birth and by action. We are born in sin and shaped in iniquity. We have no say-so. That's the way life is. Father Adam and Mother Eve thrust all of humanity into sin. Our human bloodline is that of sinners. The law of God has shown us that we are sinful creatures. The law of God demonstrates, however, how impossible it is for us to do anything about our condition absent of God's help. Because of the acts of the earth's first parents, we are born under sin, doomed to eternal separation from God the Father. But because of his divine love for his creation, God set in motion a way man could utilize his free will to return back to his Creator. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 through 7 said, "But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your heart, crying out, 'Abba, Father.' Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." The process of bringing us into liberty and eternal oneness with God meant the Father had to sacrifice his Son, and his Son had to be willing to become the sacrifice for man's redemption. Jesus was willing to be the sacrificial lamb for the redemption of mankind. And when the conditions were right, heaven moved to deliver man from the curse of the law. The Bible is clear that scripture was confined all under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. Oh, my beloved, I want to say to you today, if you have been born again and you are walking in the light of God's salvation, don't let anybody or anything turn you back. Don't go back. As a Christian, we enjoy a freedom that cannot be denied us under the law of man, nor the law of Moses. Jesus did not come to destroy the law. He came to fulfill the law. And through Jesus Christ, the requirements of the law broken by man have been fulfilled through his death, burial, and resurrection. Oh, hallelujah. Before faith in Christ delivered us, we were imprisoned by sin, beaten down by past mistakes, and choked by desires that we knew were wrong. God knew we were sin's prisoners, but he provided a way of escape. Faith in Jesus Christ. You have to understand that without Christ, everyone is held in sin's grasp. And only those who place their faith in Christ ever get out of it. Look to Christ. He is reaching out to set you free. In Galatians, we have Paul's powerful defense of the gospel. And I want you to know that even then, there were some from the Pharisee party in Judea who had trusted Christ, apparently retained their zeal for the Mosaic law. They traveled to the churches Paul had founded and taught that the Gentile Christians, that they must be circumcised and must keep the law of Moses to be saved. In essence, they said that to be a true Christian, a Gentile must become Jewish in lifestyle and live by the Old Testament code. But Paul confronted this view, insisting that what these men taught was a different gospel from the gospel of God's grace in Jesus Christ. Paul insisted that there can be no mixture of law and grace in the gospel of Christ without robbing the gospel of his power. I came to tell somebody today, don't go back. If you have come to Christ, stay where you are. Stay with the Lord. Because as a believer, you are not under the law. You are under the amazing grace of God. That is because of the Christian union with Christ. The believer is legally released from the law. How? By dying with the Savior. For a person who is dead is not responsible to keep the Old Testament code, but is released from its old. The Bible says in Galatians 3:6, just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, just as Abraham believed God, the scripture also declares that those of us who are of faith are also sons of Abraham. I believe that the interpretation of those words is that the blessings of Abraham are also the blessings of those Gentiles who have come to God through faith in Jesus Christ. I came by to remind you as I close that righteousness cannot be attained apart from accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. The way of our society is moving. It is not hard for the believer to recognize the tricks of the devil in enticing the believer to return to the old ways of sin that we have been delivered from. But glory to God. Thank God for the resurrection, because our affirmation as a believer in Christ is one of faith, is recognizing that Christ died for our sins that we might have eternal life. So don't let the devil trick you today. Don't go back to your old ways. Don't go back to the ways of your flesh. Don't go back to the ways of sin and damnation. Hold on to God's unchanging hand. Hold on to the reality that you have been born again. Hold on to the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hold on to the declaration of your independence, that you are saved. You've been washed with the blood of the Lamb. God bless your heart.